Let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 7. Continue our look at Genesis and it was flood. You know, when considering the total destruction of the earth by this worldwide flood, it is very obvious that God's primary concern is not the environment, but the righteousness of people. Now, the physical world is not God's focus. The spiritual world is. You know, God can make a world just like that. I mean, he can destroy a world just like that. But God's concern is the spiritual righteousness of his people. And so, if necessary, God will, as I've just said, God has and will destroy the entire planet, even the universe, for the sake of his holiness. That should just scream at us. Ladies and gentlemen, God is all about holiness. And what God is consumed with, we need to be consumed with. One author writes, if you get a grip on the flood, if you can really comprehend that God destroyed the billions of people that populated the earth and saved only 8 people, then you know he is not kidding when he talks about judgment, because there is a record of him having done it. And every tender warning and every word of mercy and every expression of compassion and every act of grace and every extended breath within the framework of God's patience is not to be treated lightly or trivialized. Remember God's words in Genesis 6:2 to the pre-flood society, "My spirit shall not always strive with man," meaning God will not always be patient. We see so much patience today. But there's coming a point, there's coming a time when God will no longer be patient. And when his judgment comes, it will be harsh, it will be swift, and it will be total. Ladies and gentlemen, always understand God's verdict is incontestable. No court of appeals with him. Now we come to Genesis 7. Allow me to read for you verses 1 through 5 of Genesis 7. "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive." In other words, offspring alive upon the face of all the earth. "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." And Noah did according to all that God commanded him. Father, I pray that next few minutes as we look at this portion of Scripture, Lord, that we will understand the seriousness of our relationship with you. And Lord, that we will worship you in the spirit of holiness, that we too will be holy people, zealous of good works. Lord, that this coming judgment that we'll not be a part of. In Jesus' name, amen. Between Genesis chapter 6, verse 13, let's read that. "And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence to them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." And now Genesis 7:1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me." In this generation, we have 120 years. And of course, during this time, two things happened. Number one, God had commanded Noah to build an ark. "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Whom shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." And then the fashion of it, the length, the width, the height, talking about a window or a series of windows for light and ventilation, the door, the decks. And I'm sure there was more to what God told Noah than just what we have here, but we get the general picture. God commanded Noah to build an ark, and Noah did just that. He and his 3 sons finished this mammoth project, this boat, this rectangular box, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Let me just say this. No matter how ridiculous what God asks us to do might seem to you, you do it anyway. You just obey. I think too often when we read in the scriptures certain commandments, and I'm not even thinking of one in particular, but you know, we think, well, I don't know if God means that. If God says it, he means it. God told Noah to build an ark, and Noah obeyed. Pray for a heart that obeys. And then secondly, as Noah built the ark, he also tried to build God's kingdom. And 2 Peter 2:5 tells us Noah was a preacher of righteousness. By the way, if you're going to be a preacher, you want to be a preacher of righteousness. Which tells us for 120 years, it was sought to warn the people of God's coming judgment. 120 years. The same message, the same warning, that God was going to drown the entire world in a worldwide flood, which means this period was a time of God's grace, a time of God's mercy, of compassion, a time of God's patience, an opportunity of forgiveness and salvation for mankind. It was. God gave. You know, you say, well, why would God be so judgmental to destroy the entire world and save only 8 people alive? Well, let me tell you, God gave those billions of people 120 years to repent. It wasn't like he just said, well, I'm going to judge the world, and then he did. God showed mercy. God always gives people an opportunity to repent. Always does. But at the end of 120 years, after the ark was completed, after Methuselah had died, it was now time for God's judgment to come, meaning it was now time for Noah and his family to enter the ark, to enter this huge rectangular box of safety, which could safely hold thousands and thousands of animals. I told you last week that the size of the ark, its space, was capable of holding 125,000 sheep. Now you think about that. That's a lot of wool. You were thinking I was going to say that's a lot of ba, right? 125,000. There's always room for you. There's always enough room in the ark of safety for you. Aren't you glad for that? You say, well, is heaven going to be big enough? It sure will. It'll be big enough for you. Again, because faithful Noah believed God when he said, judgment is coming, and I want you to build an ark, and Noah obeyed, because he believed, he obeyed. God could say in Genesis 7, verse 1, I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. And so to Noah he said, come into the ark, you and all your household. Ladies and gentlemen, you want God to be able to say to you, come into the ark of safety, who is Jesus Christ. Again, we've talked about this. This is something that you know well, but what you truly believe is what will come to pass in your life. What we believe, what we truly believe, we will see practiced. So we see faith and obedience. Then God continued in verse 2, of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Now here is the first mention of clean and unclean animals in the Bible. And if you study Mosaic law, you'll find in chapters 11 through 15 of Leviticus a section exclusively set aside on clean and unclean animals. The primary point, let's understand this, the primary point here, and I use the word primary, is not that some animals are literally dirtier than others. The real issue is not about health. It's not about physiology. Remember, God told Peter in Acts chapter 10, respecting common or unclean animals, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou unclean. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:4 that everything is to be received with thanksgiving, everything. Rather, God wanted his people to learn to make distinctions. He wanted to teach his people to learn to separate his ways from all other ways. Even before God gave Moses the codification of the clean and unclean animals of the sacrificial system, God had at some point revealed to Noah what were the clean animals. And so God said to Noah, take of every clean animal 7 pairs. And the reason for this is seen if you'll turn to Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings or sacrifices on the altar. In this economy, the clean animals were the ones God designated to be used for sacrifice, for worship. Ladies and gentlemen, that is significant. Don't let that pass you by. God said to Noah, take of every clean animal 7 pairs, and the reason for this is for sacrifice, for worship. God designated the clean animals for worship. What should that say to us today? If we are to worship, what does that say to us today? We are to be clean. So with these clean and unclean beasts and fowl, God was preserving the animal kingdom along with an appropriate way to worship God. If you look back at Psalm 24, we read these verses this morning. Verse 3 of Psalm 24, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. The appropriate way to worship God is with clean hands and a pure heart. Now, there are a lot of different kinds of animals today. For example, there are many different types of dogs. How many different types of dogs did Noah bring with him on the ark? I honestly believe he brought just one pair. One pair, for in that species pair, God could and did preserve all the genetic material to produce all the various kinds of dogs who would live, who have lived, and would ever live. And the same is true regarding all the other species of animals. The varying combination of genes, along with the various mutations and adaptations, the great variety of animals within each species can and does occur. If you study biology, you know this to be true. And from Mr. and Mrs. Noah, their sons and their sons' wives, we have all, think about this, we have all the people who have post-flood populated and are populated and will ever populate this world. We all come, ultimately, from the same folk. The people of the world have all come from the same 8 people. Which tells us there really is one race on the earth. One author writes, the difference in genetics between any 2 people in the world is 0.2%. Not 2%, but 0.2%. And what we call racial characteristics, skin color, features, eyes, shape, etc., is 6% of that 0.2% variation, or 0.012%. And so again, we're really a lot alike. We are family. We all have the same kin. We are really one race. Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times appointed in the bonds of their habitation. We have many cultures found in one race of people. Verse number 4 of Genesis 7, we read this, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. In verse 1, God told Noah to enter the ark, and now we see that God gave the world one final what? Week to repent. 7 more days to turn from their wicked ways. And I'm sure Noah, knowing that the world had only one more week to turn from sin, responded by proclaiming, folks, I'm telling you, not only is God's judgment coming, but it's coming at the end of this week. So please come into the ark. This is your only chance. This is your only opportunity. This is your only salvation. This is your only hope. Can I be so brazen to say we don't even know if we have a week? You don't know if you have a week. You have this moment. But you don't know if you'll see next Sunday night. At least those people knew they had a week to repent. We don't know if we have that. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the acceptable time. But sadly, no one. That's unbelievable. Think about it. If you saw this huge boat, rectangular box, and you saw these animals coming into the ark, don't you think that that should get your attention? Don't you think that something would jar your thinking to say, well, maybe, just maybe, there's something to Noah and his divine message of judgment? But no one listened, no one gave heed, no one came. I see that same hardness of heart today. Preachers can preach, I mean literally, they can preach what God's word says and people can see it for themselves, and yet they will not turn from their sin. Now when God said, I will send rain on the earth, we must understand that rain was something foreign. It had never rained before. The plants, if you'll turn back to Genesis chapter 2, the plants were watered from a mist or a flow of water from beneath the ground. Verse 6 of Genesis 2, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. This is literally saying a source of groundwater that gushed up from the ground watered the plants. But now things would change. For after 7 days, the rain would begin to fall, and after 7 days, the rain did begin to fall from the sky. And the Hebrew word used here for rain refers to normal rain. But after it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, by the time we get to verse 12 of Genesis 7, the Hebrew word for rain used here means a torrent, a deluge, a torrential downpour. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. We're talking now about a canopy, the canopy of water that covered the earth. Turn back to Genesis 1 verse 7. And God made the firmament, or the sky, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. So you had, in the original creation, you had, first of all, you had a watery mass. And on day two, God, you remember on day one, God made light. Then on day two, he separated the water. He put sky between two bodies of water. A body of water that was upon the earth, and a body of water then encircled the entire earth. This canopy of water. One theologian says a thermal water blanket that encircled the earth. Now what happened is this thermal blanket of water became condensed, and what happens when something becomes condensed? It becomes liquefied. It dumps its water, and this canopy of water dumped its water over the entire earth's surface. Now today such an amount of water does not exist in the clouds. In fact, if all the water in the atmosphere fell at one time, it would be less than an inch deep in covering the earth. And so Noah's rain was a totally different phenomenon. This canopy of water unleashed its total amount of water on the earth. How much water was in this canopy, I don't know. I mean, I think it was several thousand feet thick, maybe several miles thick. You only need to look at the oceans to see that there was a lot of water. And so Noah's rain was again, totally different from what we consider rain today. In other words, it rained, but we don't have a canopy of water circling the earth. Now, continuing, we see again in verse 5 why God spared Noah. Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded, which tells us for us to escape God's wrath to come, we too must trust, we too must believe, and we too must obey. We too must believe, and then out of our faith comes our works. We prove our faith by our works. Again, God is a God of love and mercy and grace. He gave the pre-flood world 120 years to repent, but he also is a God of judgment who drowned the entire world because of the corruption and violence of man, which all tells us he will judge sin again. He will destroy sinful man in the sin-cursed world again. Judgment day is coming again. Remember, God is not into the environment. He is a holy God that will judge the sins of man. God is the executioner. And so I challenge you, make sure you are in Christ, our ark of safety. Make sure Jesus is your Savior. 1 John 5:12 says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Father, I thank you so much that we can look into your word. Thank you for the reminder that judgment is coming. Might we be ready. Lord, might we know whom we have believed. Might we honestly be able to say, I am in the ark of safety, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am trusting in him for my salvation. Lord, grant it. If there might be one here who knows you not, Lord, speak to them, draw them to yourself. Might we see how important it is to come before you and worship with clean hands and a pure heart. Lord, I believe we see the significance of that through the clean animals that were what you required for sacrifice, for worship. Lord, might we desire to be like Christ. Might it not bother us if we are different from the world? Might we not want to please the world? Might we not want the blessings of the world? Might we want the blessings of the living God? Lord, might we want that good name, the name that brings honor and glory to your name. So bless now in Jesus' name. Amen.